Imam Ahmad Rida,
guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Life of the Grand Reviver and inshallah in this episode too we will discuss aspects of the life of Ala Hazrat Mujaddidin Millat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Alihi Rahmatul Rahman Al-Mujaddidul A'azam The Grand Reviver In this particular episode we're going to discuss the ma'mulat the blessed habits daily habits of Ala Hazrat Alihi Rahmatul Rahman which he was so consistent in doing and remember the awliya Allah all of their actions subhanallah by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal are in accordance to the sunan of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam in accordance to the sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam came with. So inshallah, we will hear about the ma'mulat of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatul Rahman. And just as his aqwal in his books, Fatawa Radawiyya Sharif, that he wrote, are a hujjat for us, are a dalil and evidence for us. Likewise, his actions, his a'mal are also a dalil for us. Why? Because as I said, it's in line, in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people, they spent their entire lives, they spent all of their time learning the seerah, learning the sunnah, and then implementing it in their lives as well. So Allah said, would act upon the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi sallam, and he would also refrain from those actions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited. He himself says that when I went to perform hajj the first time, on my way back with my mother, there was a storm in the sea. We were on a ship. People began to panic. That's it. We're going to sink now. We're going to die. And this is our last day alive. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatul Rahman says, when there was this whirlwind, when it seemed as though the ship was going to sink, he Rahmatullahi Ali took an oath upon the Dhat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he said, by Allah, this ship will not sink. Now, my mother asked, like, how can you take a qasam upon this? That this is a big thing that you've just done. You took a qasam upon the Dhat of Allah that this ship will not sink. Whereas the qara'in, the signs, the apparent signs are that it will sink. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma replied that according to the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I supplicated, meaning the dua that has been mentioned in the sunnah regarding boarding a ship or a ride, sitting on a conveyance, I made that dua, and the hadith tells us that whoever reads this dua, no nuqsan, no harm will reach them. And now I have full yaqeen, I have full certainty that this dua that I made in accordance to the prophetic teachings will save us all. Meaning we can't drown. Why? Because I've read this dua. Now viewers, think for a moment. We make supplications all the time. But is our yaqeen on this level that once we made that dua that the Prophet ﷺ has taught, he is sadiqul wa'di wal ameen, he is the most truthful in Allah's creation. Once we make a dua found in the sunnah, does our heart be filled with certainty that that dua will manifest exactly as we prayed? But this is something that we have to ask ourselves. But look at the yaqeen kamil, the complete certainty that Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma possessed in this regard. And he said, I made dua when I boarded the ship. And the virtues of that dua are that when you board a ship or you ride a conveyance, you mount a conveyance, then no nuqsan, no harm will reach you. And I have full yaqeen in this dua. And alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, the people on that ship survived on their journey back from Hajj and the ship did not sink as well. Subhanallah. This is the blessed habit of Ala Hazrat that he would make du'as from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he himself writes this. He says that there are many wazaif that one can read, many incantations, invocations, litanies, which are not necessarily reported directly from the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, but they're jais to read. It may be an invocation that has been recorded from the awliyaullah, from the sulaha, from the noble and elite men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is fine, because those people are inspired. Those people are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they instruct their murideen to recite certain kalimat, the murideen, the disciples, should recite them with full conviction as well. But Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah says, there are so many wazaif which are not necessarily reported from the Prophet alayhi salam and which are jais to read. I myself, my habit is that when I make dua, ad'iyah, supplications, I stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dua ma'thura. Those du'as that have been recorded from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I make those supplications. Now, moving on, the second time Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah went to perform Hajj, what happened? He fell ill. When he regained his health, at that particular time, there was heavy rain in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, in this very state, when he just recovered, there's rain taking place, rain showering down in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he went to perform tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. Now the great ulama of the time, they said to Ala Hazrat that your illness may reoccur. You're going out in the rain and you've just recovered from the fever, etc. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, what was the reason for him to go and perform tawaf then? He says in the hadith, it states that whoever performs tawaf of the Holy Kaaba whilst it is raining, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. This is why he went and performed tawaf at that particular moment. And the ulama are telling him that you shouldn't do so, that this is not the time because you've just recovered. And they even mentioned that this hadith that you are using to support your action, this is a da'if hadith, a weak hadith. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatur Rahman, he replies, he says, most definitely, in terms of the sanad, the chain of the hadith, it's weak. But I have full yaqeen in the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will grant me the reward mentioned for this action of mine. Meaning performing tawaf whilst it is raining. That what does the hadith mention? The person who performs tawaf whilst it is raining, he will be granted forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. So we learn that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he was someone who clung to the sunnah. He was someone who kept the sunnah and the way of the Prophet alayhi salam close to his heart. He was steadfast in acting upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now, we know that the life of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah was devoted to serving the deen. And a great proof of that is the fact that the scholars, for example, Mufti Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi alayhi states that Ala Hazrat wrote approximately 1 million pages in his entire lifetime. So we have the huge compilation of his fatawa, Al-Ataya al-Nabawiya fil Fatawa Rudawiya. Now, in this compilation, Ala Hazrat's epistles, Ala Hazrat's booklets, Ala Hazrat's works can be found. And they're a treasure trove for ulama, subhanAllah. We are reliant, everyone's reliant on those works. And we just have to look at the number of books he wrote. Over 1,000 books were written by the great Mujaddid of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatur rahman. And for this purpose, he would spend most of his time in his home. Obviously, nowadays, people spend a lot of time outside the home, and they prefer to do so. They try to find the most exotic locations to visit. They want some tranquility in their life. But Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he spent most of his time in the home while he was serving the deen relentlessly. And it's stated regarding him, Mufti Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes this. He says, it was the habit of Ala Hazrat that due to his masrufiya, engagement in writing, abundant writing, he would only visit the masjid, meaning during the day, that was his only time when he would leave his home. He would visit the masjid and perform the 5 daily prayers with jamaat. And he says that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah would most of the time perform wudu, ablution from home, sometimes very infrequently in the masjid. So majority of his day was spent at home. And after Asr prayer, it was his habit that the seat would be placed and people would gather around Ala Hazrat Alihi Rahmatur Rahman. Chairs would be placed And people would come to meet the great Imam and also ask questions. So this was like an open question and answer session where they would get to do ziyarah of this great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this great mujaddid, this great scholar of his time. And at the same time, they would ask him questions. Those questions that they had in their mind that they needed answers to, they would verbally ask them. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatur Rahman would answer them. And so many people would gather that the chairs would run out and then benches would have to be placed. People knew that Ala Hazrat was an ocean of knowledge. And this is why they would come in droves. Some people would ask questions, some people would ask in regards to their needs, hajat. And Imam Ahl Sunnat, Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatur Rahman, according to his istita'ah, his ability, he would aid those people as well. He would help them. And this was his habit after Asr prayer. Now, in Ramadan, as well as the winter seasons, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would stay in the masjid after Asr prayer. He would do i'tikaf with the people. And because the time in the winter especially was less after Asr, he would spend his time there. He would read his awrad and wadaif as well. And when he would leave the masjid, he would read in accordance to the hadith, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Meaning the hadith tells us that when you leave a gathering and you recite this dua, then goodness is sealed and sins are forgiven. So Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would read this dua when he would leave a majlis as well. We know that whilst in the masjid, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was very respectful. He would be very mindful about the etiquette of the masajid. Today, people come into the masjid, they may even end up talking with their friends, worldly discussions, raising their voices. Some people may even engage themselves in inappropriate acts in the masjid, teasing someone, punching someone, getting on someone's nerves. So many things take place today, unfortunately. And we have to educate ourselves that this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wouldn't go to a normal person's house and start messing about there. Or to say some dignitary, some famous personality, somebody with renown, status and rank. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't dare do that. Because here, if I do that, it'll be frowned upon. If I do that, I'll be ejected. I'll be removed. I'll be told to leave. But when we're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we for one moment think about being disrespectful? This is the house of Allah azza wa jal, baytullah. So here we have to be very careful in terms of what we say, what we do, what we're thinking, everything. And Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma was an epitome of good adab, meaning he was upright in the masajid. He kept decorum as well. So it's mentioned that when he would walk in the masjid, he would walk very slowly, so not to create sound. And it's even mentioned that he would tiptoe in the masjid. This was his ihtiyar, this is his cautious approach. As for the manner of sitting in a mahfil, in a gathering, then again, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was very respectful. It's narrated regarding him that he would sit on his knees at the attahiyat position. And in particular, in a maulid gathering, where the maulud sharif was read, sometimes for up to 4 or 5 hours, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatur Rahman would sit in that very same position. Today, it's hard for us to sit like that for even 5 minutes. Maybe even during the prayer, when we're reciting At-Tahiyyat in Qa'da, it's very hard for us. We may feel pain in our legs. But Ala Hazrat, his adab was on such a level that 4 or 5 hours in a Milad Sharif gathering, he would sit like that. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And this is why he was blessed. People of adab are blessed immensely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And conversely, people of bad adab, people of su'ul adab, people who are not mindful of the etiquettes that Islam has conveyed, then they are often deprived by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam was mentioned, when the fadail of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were related, with utmost respect, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would sit there with full attention, composed, and he would avoid forms of distraction. And this is not the case with us today. As soon as we give salam, what do? We take out our mobile phone. We heard the phone buzz during namaz, and now we have to see that message. Who messaged me? And when we look at the message, it's not that important. What's important is, where are you? You're in the house of Allah. You're in a gathering. You're hearing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're hearing about the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another blessed habit of Ala Hazrat, and again, this is in accordance with the sunnah, the Prophet alayhi salam would do all important tasks, great tasks, tasks which are considered praiseworthy in Islam, with the right hand. We know that. And Allah would do the same. It stated that when he would tie his imamah, he start from the right side. And as well as this, Allah alayhi rahmah, when he would take something, he would take it with the right hand. He would give it with the right hand. So subhanAllah, this was his habit. And he would try his utmost to refrain from taking something, giving something with the left hand. Because he knows the sunnah is to use the right hand. And we're told in the narrations that the left hand, using that for important tasks, good tasks, is the way of shaitan. And today we need to develop this blessed habit. Otherwise you see Muslims today eating with their left hands. No, nobody is saying it's a sin. But what is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? The way of the Prophet ﷺ is to use the right hand. Maybe we can convince ourselves, satisfy ourselves that, oh, it's not a sin, is it, at the end of the day? It's still jais. But following the Prophet ﷺ is the greater act. That is the way of the lover of the Prophet ﷺ. If we have true love in our heart, we would want to follow the Prophet ﷺ in every way. And when we know that our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who cried for us, who supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, remembered us in every step of his life, will perform shafa'ah for us on the day of judgment. When we recall all of these things, then we realize that this is a personality that we must follow. We're indebted to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the least we can do is follow his way. Because he has told us that my way is the best way. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. The hadith tells us that whoever loves my sunnah loves me. So if you're doing something that leads to Jannah, that shows you it's the best way. There's no way better than that. Another blessed way of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was how he would keep the titles that were used for the Prophet Ali Salam exclusive to him. The ash'ar that were written for the Prophet Ali Salam, he wouldn't use them for anyone else. Today, we mix things up. If we hear a shi'r, a particular couplet or a stanza is written regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person may end up using it for his own shaykh, his own murshid. But Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was very sensitive in this matter. When he knew that a particular verse of poetry or couplet or stanza was written for the Prophet alayhi salam, he would never use that for anyone else. Because his thinking was, this is exclusive for the Prophet alayhi salam. Nobody shares those distinct qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, there is a word that's often used, and even to address a noble person or a friend, in Urdu they say sarkar. Sarkar, how is it going? Sarkar, did you do such a thing? Sarkar is an honorific title. And we know that it's used for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sarkare Madina, Sarkare do Alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma would never use that word sarkar for anyone else apart from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was another blessed habit of his that we should try and follow. We know about Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma that he would eat very little. This is the way of the awliya Allah. They would eat little, they would sleep little, they would worship Allah more. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, he would eat such less food. It's narrated that once his blessed spouse came and placed food for him. And he was busy in writing at that time. She placed some bread, chapatis, and curry. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was so busy in writing that he drank the curry, but he did not touch the bread, the chapati. So when his wife came and saw that, he says, I didn't even realize. But it just goes to show that his prerogative or his aim in life wasn't just to eat, sleep, and drink, as is the case for most today, unfortunately. So Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, he always had higher priorities. He would eat very little. When you eat very little, your body doesn't require much sleep as well. When we fill our stomachs to the brim, then what happens? We are not able to sleep for less amount of time. You know, sleep overpowers us. We sleep for hours on end. But Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, his blessed habit was in a day, he would only sleep for about 2 hours max. This shows he was from the Kamil Awliya Allah. 2 hours, if me or you slept for 2 hours, mine would go crazy. And we're not encouraging this, but we're just saying that this was his blessed habit. And there were other things that helped him in this regard as well. That his khidmat of the deen, his, you know, less intake of food, etc. as well. So these were just a few blessed habits of the great Imam, Ala Hazrat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatur Rahman. There are so many other things that could have been touched upon, but we will conclude here. And remember, following the pious is where you receive blessings. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. blessings lie in following your elders. And yaqeenan, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahman was one of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and his life was absolutely in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq for the sake of the likes of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahman to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the way of the salihin and the awliya-i kamilin, and to implement what has been said in our lives as well. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.